Hello, Internet. My name is Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And I'm Tom O'Neill.
One of our favourite podcasts, one of our favourite podcast guests, Tom O'Neill from GoldDerby.com. Yeah, round of applause from the
Vanity of Hollywood.
Round of applause from the screen verdict interns. What do we get Tom O'Neill on for, Matt? What does he bring to the podcast?
Well, he's written the book on movie awards. He's the head of probably the, definitely the number one entertainment awards site, GoldDerby.com. And, he's got a wealth of knowledge when it comes to entertainment awards. And with the Oscars this weekend, what better time to bring him in?
Right. At Gold Derby, by the way, you can see the predictions of 29 industry experts from Yahoo, IMDb, the Los Angeles Times, Entertainment Weekly. We take their predictions, we distill them into racetrack odds that you can wager against when you make your own predictions at Gold Derby. And if you have the best predictions, you win $1,000. But I warn you, do you steal your predictions from the experts or the real experts? That is, the editors, like me and Matt, of Gold Derby, which we comprise a separate unit. Last year, the editors kicked everybody's ass. We had the best predictions, even over the experts and even over the users of Gold Derby. So pay attention to what Matt and I say, because we really know our stuff. At least we did last year.
Yes. No, we definitely did. And actually, a great thing for Gold Derby last year was we I think when you put everyone's predictions together, all the aggregate systems we use and things, that I think all but one of the Oscar races were successfully predicted by GoldDerby.com.
Yeah, so, we were smarter together than we were individually.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Fair enough, Jonathan?
Yeah. So we've got two experts and me to talk about the Oscars this weekend. Let's just jump right in. We're going to start with some of the acting categories. And probably one of the most interesting races, I would say, is the Best Actor race. Matt, who are the nominees?
Okay, nominees, you got Michael Keaton for Birdman, Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, and Steve Carell, Foxcatcher.
Matt, what do you think of Steve Carell in this category? I know you were a huge fan of him on The Office. I know you thought he was snubbed repeatedly for the Emmy. What do you think of his chances at the Oscar?
Well, I preferred him in The Office than Foxcatcher, to be honest. Like, I think on The Office he gave one of the greatest sort of comedic performances ever on TV. He was crazy, he was like stupid, but he also had some heart to him at times, and I just thought that's really good. I really liked him in Foxcatcher for showing he can do something different, and I think he did it really well, but it wasn't, like, I think, fine that he's nominated, but I just think that he's a bit, very deserving of the nomination, but maybe a bit out of his depth when it comes to the win.
I really liked the performance. It was a very strange character. It was a really interesting thing for him to, I guess, break out into dramatic performances with. And I guess the Academy likes that, stories, you know, people making a comeback, or, you know, the reconnaissance of last year. But I don't think this is really enough of a heavyweight performance in order to really ride that momentum to an actual win, because he's not even in the film. For like, he's got like 10% screen time or something. Like, it's outrageous that anyone could consider this a lead performance. This is a movie about Channing Tatum. What's he doing in this category, Tom?
I'll tell you what he's doing in this category. Sony Pictures Classics did not want to put Steve Carell where he rightfully belongs, as you note, in supporting, because they have another movie there called Whiplash, where J.K. Simmons is the front runner, so they didn't want to run their two heavyweights opposite each other. Now, they knew that Channing Tatum was not going to get nominated for lead, so they pushed Carell up to lead and ran him there, trying to get that extra nomination, and that's fine. But I don't think that Carell has a chance anywhere, because he is missing that one big scene you need in a movie to win. In other words, he doesn't have that plate-smashing scene, that big crying scene or something. He's so monotone throughout all of Foxcatcher that it's just we don't see enough of his acting chops. He's very good at what we see him do, but it's not enough. You're missing the fireworks.
Channing Tatum.
Here's a question, though, Tom, because, like, on one level, that's all right, but at the same time, are we discounting him because he's probably got more screen time than Nicole Kidman had in The Hours and the bigger nose?
That's right. And I told him that, too, when I, Foxcatcher showed at the American Film Institute. There was a party across the street. It showed at the Grauman's Chinese Theater, and then at there was a party across the street at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, which is where the first Oscar ceremony was held. And while we were there, Steve was around the pool, and he said to me, "So what are my chances, Tom, of an Oscar nomination?" And I said, "Oh, come on, Steve. If Nicole Kidman can win for a plastic nose, you at least get a nomination, right?" And then, I would run into him at various times in Oscar season. It was looking good, and then it wasn't looking good, and then he was falling. He was in that fifth, sixth, seventh slot at Gold Derby. You know, Bradley Cooper was giving him trouble. Jake Gyllenhaal, they were all jockeying for that fifth slot, and I was hoping just for his sake that he'd make it in, and he did. But the plastic nose was always the joke between him and me when I counted him on the derby track.
Mm. Yes. I don't think he's very likable either. Like, he's a bit of a creepy guy in the movie. I don't think we're meant to be rooting for him.
Right. Yeah. But forget him, he's not doing it.
Yeah, okay. Who else, Jonathan, do you want to talk about?
Well, we have everybody's favorite... we have everybody's favorite new celebrity crush, Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't really get it. I don't really see why this guy is so cute. I don't think he's all that. I think I could go toe-to-toe with Benedict Cumberbatch. But there's a lot of swooning on Facebook and social media, and there's a lot of love for him in the Academy because he got a nomination for The Imitation Game, where he plays Alan Turing. I thought this was a pretty powerful performance. He's very, I know, he hooks you in with his quirks. They've got just that, the right amount of making him seem a little bit weird and distant, and he's so focused on what he's trying to achieve, but he's still likable. You're still rooting for him, and you follow him on this journey, and then, you know, you really feel for him, and it's got a really hard-hitting ending. So I was glad to see him get nominated. I don't think this is going to be a winning performance. I think we'll get to probably the two front runners, but I'm glad to see it in the race.
I disagree so much, Jonathan. What movie did you see? Come on. He's doing Sherlock in that movie. He's putting on a little bit of an accent, but it's Sherlock. It's that intense, crazy kind of thing. It's like, oh, come on, Benedict, knock it off. But he is popular, as you say. All you have to do at Gold Derby is just put Benedict Cumberbatch in a headline, and you get stormed with 10 billion traffic. The only other name that gets more traffic than that is Lady Gaga, and that's only if she flashes her hoo-ha at a concert or something. Otherwise, Benedict Cumberbatch just brings you all the traffic you want, so just keep putting him in the headline. But we just announced the winners of the Gold Derby Awards, and he was nominated there. Cumberbatch came in last place. I mean, there's not even award support for him at an awards website, so this boy doesn't have a prayer.
He's a bit like Sherlock-y, although I find a bit more interesting Sherlock solving murders than trying to, like, unscramble a code. Like, it's all, like, a lot of letters and, like, some machine that I didn't quite understand that he's, like, working through. So, yeah, he's good. Nomination, fine. But, it was good. He did what he's meant to do. He got the job done.
You guys obviously weren't very good at maths at school.
Blame us. Go ahead, John. Yeah. Blame us. It's all about us, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's probably not going to win, though. Would you agree with that, Jonathan?
No way.
No, I don't think he's gonna win.
I know a girl who, and I can't remember who it is now, who she had a bit of a swoon for Benedict Cumberbatch, and they confided in me at some point. But actually, to be honest, like, I think if he didn't play Sherlock, I don't think he'd be that attractive.
No. He's dorky. He just got married, so he broke a lot of hearts this past week.
Oh, no. Condolences to all my female friends.
Whose names you can't remember, but they're still good friends.
Yes. I know the friends that have a crush on him. I just don't know which was the one.
Oh, okay.
That, like, he's not really
It's
that
all of them, Matt.
Yeah, what, sorry?
It's all of them.
Yeah, it's all of them.
Chicks just dig that guy. I don't get it. He's dorky.
Yeah. Oh, well, Matt, yeah. Maybe there's hope for award side editors, if there's hope in him.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, Bradley Cooper, also nominated?
He could win. I mean, don't really discount that. Look, we're always discounting Bradley Cooper. For 3 years in a row, that guy got an Oscar nomination with all the experts at Gold Derby saying he wouldn't. Now, I did change my prediction at 2 o'clock in the morning the night before Oscar nominations, and I switched to Bradley, and I got him right. But we're always underestimating this guy. And there's something to keep in mind here, and that is he has not been nominated against Eddie Redmayne or Michael Keaton, the two presumed frontrunners here, at anything. So we don't know how he's going to perform against them. And this guy is so popular. I mean, he's on Broadway now, The Elephant Man, getting standing ovations every night in New York. So he's proving himself kind of the real actor. He's in the number one movie in America for the past month, American Sniper, that's just crossed the $300 million mark in the United States. He has all of these attributes you need normally to win. He portrays a real-life person, as did 8 of the past 10 winners in this category. He has the physical transformation. He put on 40 pounds, put on facial hair, a Texas twang. So he's really acting, right? So I don't think it's far-fetched to think that he could pull off an upset. Quite a few wise minds believe he will, but I don't think he's the smart money to bet on. But don't be surprised if it happened.
Jonathan, is he in your crosshairs?
And if he is, what's he doing there?
I don't want to be playing that game with with Bradley Cooper. I think he has a shot. I think this film is aimed it's going to please the demographic that is the Academy. You know, everyone in the Academy looks like and likes Clint Eastwood. So, you know, there's been sort of, polarizing this and that thoughts on American Sniper. I think the Academy is going to get behind American Sniper, and they've shown that with some of its nominations. It has the real person, the physical stuff. I thought, I was like, who's this? All the memories is that, like, skinny, lean sort of, I don't know, Sinatra-looking guy in the Hangover movies, and now he's huge. He's jacked up. And the accent was spot on, and I'm an expert in Texas accents.
Okay.
I went there for 3 nights just a week ago, so I've got that down pat, and everybody sounded like Bradley Cooper in the movie.
Well, there you go.
I don't know, maybe I just sort of have been assuming that he's not going to win, and I don't know, maybe Tom's starting to make me think he has a chance, but I don't know. I think if I just think about the performance on its own, I liked it, but there wasn't anything that made it really jump out. You just thought, you know, he embodied the character, you followed his story, you rooted for him, you felt the emotions, but there wasn't anything that hooked you and went, wow, you
They're
have to go...
They're not voting on the performance at the Oscars, Jonathan. Nobody was voting... Nobody thought Nicole Kidman gave the best performance of the year in The Hours. That's absurd, right? Nobody thought Jean Dujardin gave the best performance of the year in The Artist. It's just about who we love, who we don't, where's the momentum going. And right now, American Sniper is the number one movie of the year. It is... this has a strong rooting factor. The guy's perceived in general as a hero to most people, although not necessarily to Hollywood lefties, and that's the problem. This is Sarah Palin's favorite movie, and that could take it down in terms of Oscar voters, but they may want to give it a vote someplace. I think this guy is really in the running, especially since it's presumed to be a two-man race now with Keaton and Redmayne. You need fewer votes to win, really, if a third person's coming in there to take it.
Yeah, but, like, even though performances isn't the most important thing always, like, as you said with Sticker, like, he doesn't really have the plate-smashing scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he sort of is a bit of a reserved character. Like, he kills, like, 160 people, but, like, it's just, like, using his finger. Like, you know, it's not, like, anything too dramatic or anything. And I just do wonder if, you know, he's a bit too laid back a character to win an Oscar. Like, you know, he just sort of sitting back there going like, sort of, you know, I'm sort of happy to meet my maker and things like that. You know, you're not the only one expert in Texan accents, Jonathan.
Well, I have two words for you, Matt Noble, and they are Sean Penn. I mean, laid back performances, people who just kind of dial it in and get Oscars. I mean, so it's not all, it's not, I don't think it's ever really about the performance.
Yeah, it could be true. Could be true. I think he's in with a shot, but I don't think it's a great one. I do think it's going to be one of the other two guys.
I do too, but I'm just warning you.
I feel
so
like,
who are those other two guys, Jonathan?
Well, we have, it's a cross-Atlantic showdown in the European corner. We have Eddie Redmayne from The Theory of Everything playing Stephen Hawking. And we in the North American corner, we have Michael Keaton playing some guy in Birdman.
Birdman.
It would have been easy. Yeah, he's playing Birdman in Birdman. And they've been trading awards. It's been back and forth. The predictions, you know, we had Keaton in the lead. Now we got Redmayne in the lead. This is a real toe-to-toe battle. I'm liking this showdown.
Tom, what do we look at? What's the key thing to look at in this race?
It's difficult to answer that because the tea leaves are all over the place. If you look at the Screen Actors Guild, which is usually the best harbinger of what will happen. Eddie Redmayne won that. And in the past 20 years, 17 of the winners at SAG went on in this category to win at the Oscars. So you think, well, those are pretty good odds, especially when you think, look, Redmayne also won BAFTA. He also won the Golden Globe. But so did Keaton. There was a separate category at the Globes for comedy musicals, and he won that race. Look, it comes down to this. If you believe that Birdman's going to win Best Picture, and right now, this minute, most of the experts do a gold derby, that was not true 3 days ago. It was a tie with Boylan. But if it does happen that Birdman wins Best Picture, generally speaking, the movie that wins Best Picture also wins an acting award. Think of Lupita Nyong'o winning last year. Think of Jean Dujardin, Hilary Swank in Million Dollar Baby, Russell Crowe in Gladiator, etc., etc. So 12 out of the past 20 winners of Best Picture won the acting award. But that means 8 did not. So it's kind of hard to nail this because what's interesting and compelling about Birdman is it's a show about showbiz. And it's about a man trying to make a comeback. And it really is Michael Keaton's story himself. The man who starred as Batman, walked away from it, and then is now making a comeback in an artsy movie. In the film, Birdman, we see the actor of a superhero movie called Birdman, who now is trying to put on a Broadway play and facing all these demons. Now, foolishly, Redmayne has been disavowing, not Redmayne, Keaton's been disavowing that whole backstory. But, well, this movie wasn't written for me. It's just a coincidence I got the role. I didn't walk away from Batman. I just moved to Wyoming with my family to raise my kids after Batman. So don't draw these parallels. Well, he's a fool because he should draw the parallels big and loud as he can because you win Oscars based on backstory. Now, one of the reasons Matthew McConaughey won last year is because his backstory was going from surfer dude to serious actor. And that's what Keaton has going for him this year if he just shut up and stop disavowing the whole backstory of this because it's one of his biggest pluses. That said, I'm going with Redmayne.
Was his misstep in, like, thinking that, oh, if I, like, act like it's based on me, people are going to think I'm not acting, I'm just being myself?
Maybe.
The Larry David, Jerry Seinfeld curse.
The Clooney effect.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe I just think he's obnoxious and obstinate. I've met him many times. He just walked out of an interview with me a couple weeks ago. He's just, I didn't even run the interview with Gold Derby, the video. Yeah, he's
what did you
just,
say, Tom? What did you say, Tom?
Well, I really pissed him off, and it was my fault. But well, you know, all right, I'll tell on myself. I was supposed to do these interviews with Entertainment Tonight, ET Online, and Gold Derby were teaming up to do these interviews together. We even used their camera crew. But I was not allowed to tell the stars at the Beverly Hilton a few weeks ago, the day of the Oscar nominees lunch. that it was an E.T. / Gold Derby thing, because they were afraid that if they heard that, the stars weren't going to go see Nancy O'Dell down by the pool, where there was a separate E.T. thing. So anyway, I had this bizarre situation where he needed to do these videos and do them in part for E.T. online, and Gold Derby and what E.T. online wanted was shtick. They wanted me just to goof around with the stars. So I had this really funny stuff like playing, and I'll run these videos someday, Oscar trivia with the stars, like asking them, you know, and it's hilarious. They don't know anything. You know, Keaton's getting really pissed off at me. I don't know anything about Oscar trivia. Move on with your questions. And I won't. I'm still asking, who's won the most Oscars, you know, A, B, or C? And then I ask them stupid questions like, would you rather? Would you rather win an Oscar or be president of the United States? Would you rather win an Oscar or have an acre of beachfront property in Malibu? Well, you can imagine the face, the looks I'm getting from Keaton at this point. And then I come to my big grand finale. Would you rather have an Oscar or all the cookie dough ice cream in the world? Well, he damn near just leaned over and smacked the shit out of me. He was so angry. Like, what the fuck is this interview? What is going on? And I did this to Carell, too. And Carell is kind of going with it, but kind of looking out of the corner of his eye going, O'Neill, what are you doing? You know. But being a comedian, he's going with the shtick. I was supposed to have time to do a serious interview and with shtick. But the problem was all the nominees came to the suite I had rented at the Beverly Hills right after the Oscar-nominated lunch. So they're all standing in the hall. There's a clusterfuck of all these famous people out there. And they had to come in really fast, so I had to get the E.T. stuff out. Anyway, it was a disaster. So Keaton just ripped off the microphone and stormed off. Not that I blame him.
I saw the video of you and Carell on it. I saw it on E.T. and stuff. And, yeah, he was a good sport. He was loving it.
He was good. Yeah, that clip was, I was having them all hold the Oscar. You know, if you win, how will you hold it? But that part they did right there.
Well, we got to interact a little with Michael Keaton thanks to the Gold Derby hookup at the Q&A with Michael Keaton and...
Oh, yes.
What's his face? Edward Norton. And you can imagine what type of character must Edward Norton be if Michael Keaton came off as the charming and relatable one.
Yes, he's an asshole. Raging a-hole.
Okay. It's got to be Eddie Redmayne, though, right? Like, and look, I prefer Keaton's performance in the movie. If I was a voter, I'd be ticking off Keaton. But, boy, I'm a bit of a cynic when it comes to Oscar acting predictions, and I just think he plays a disability. He's, like, you know, convulsing around in a wheelchair. He wears glasses crooked. I think this is it. Like, this
physical
is the dream. The dream role.
Yeah.
We talked about people swooning over Cumberbatch. The Redmayne swoon is pretty real too. And I don't blame them. This one I understand. This Eddie Redmayne, he's...
You've got a man crush on Redmayne?
Oh, boy. He's... move over Ryan Gosling. I think he has the performance as well. I think this was... This was a difficult performance to make believable. I really believe the physical limitations, and it's heartbreaking. You root for him. He's just so cool. He's almost like a male Jennifer Lawrence. I'm telling you, Redmayne's going to be huge. He's going to get the Oscar, and it's just going to launch him into superstardom.
Yeah, he's really cool and grateful and just decent and nice. And he's been campaigning like crazy in Hollywood, and everyone's had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes, and he's wowed everybody.
And I think he's also like, he's not like, sometimes you see these sort of young, hot people get a bit punished, like a Tom Cruise or a Brad Pitt or whatever. But there's something about some of these young sort of hot actors that they can get away with it with the Academy voters because they're sort of adorable in a sense, or they're sort of like...
They're relatably hot, like, attainably hot.
Yeah, like an Adrian Brody or whatever, where it's sort of like, oh, look at this up-and-comer, let's give him a pat on the back, rather than a sort of, look, Tom Cruise, this guy, we've heard enough about him, like, take a back seat, buddy.
So is that three for Redmayne? What's everyone's predictions? I'm predicting Redmayne.
I'm Redmayne.
Me too.
Yeah. Great.
There we go.
Best actress now, and I'll read out the nominees. I don't think we're going to need to talk about best actress for as much. I just got a feeling that it's going to be less to discuss. Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything. Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night. Reese Witherspoon, Wild. Julianne Moore, Still Alice. And Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl.
Well, she just left.
<She's> Bye-bye. <gone?
laughs> No, he's saying... Rosamund Park. No, this is so obviously Julianne Moore. She's won everything this season. I even know an Oscar voter who said that she has no intention of watching Still Alice, but she's still going to vote for Julianne Moore. The woman has lost 4 times. She's in her 50s. She's beloved. They're just like, we can't stand to watch her, you know, lose one more time. We got to give her the award. And what helps in this case is there's no real strong competition. None of the other four.
There's no alternate.
No.
Like, this perhaps film isn't big enough that, like, she could have some chinks in her armor if there was another really good performance. Mm-hmm. Or another really, like, buzzed performance.
Right.
And, like, part of me thinks, if she wasn't, like, if Still Alice was a film that didn't exist, if that was a film that hadn't come out this year or whatever, that Jennifer Aniston probably would have got the 5th slot and she probably would have won. Like...
Have you seen Cake?
Well, I don't see anyone getting excited about any of the other performances. And I think Jennifer Aniston is someone who people could have gotten excited about by this point. Like, she probably would have won the Globe. She probably, you know, like, you just...
I agree that she, in her backstory, you know, is trying to rally after the whole breakup with Brad and all this, and crossover from sitcom star to serious actor. No, I agree that that's could have carried the day with her.
She's the only person I could have seen being a legitimate contender against Julianne Moore. And when she was nominated, I think the race was over. And I think Julianne Moore probably would have won anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So...
reaching here, but yeah. Marion Cotillard won for a film that I'm pretty sure no one saw.
I've seen it, and I highly recommend you guys not see it. It is absolutely unwatchable.
I saw it. Her performance is fine. Nothing against
her. No, it's not. Man. Come on.
It's an awful movie. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Thank you.
It was like a more level, like bad.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's hilarious. I really yes. Amour is the standard by way of awfulness.
It was worse than Amour. Yes. I jumped over the, like, I'm so hard to follow.
Yes.
Like,
there was nothing to follow. It was a woman who had been given an ultimatum that if she convinces her co-workers that to keep her, they have to forfeit a bonus that they were going to get, but there'll be enough money if they forfeit the bonus to keep her on it as a job. And so she has to ring doorbells for the whole damn movie and try to tell her coworkers to please let her keep a job. And that's it. And basically, one doorbell scene after another, when someone says yes, one says no, and then she cries, and blah, 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 and that's, come on, that's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm not going to lie, have not heard anything about 2 Days, 1 Night.
No one saw this movie either. Could that be a sign of another win for Marion Cotillard?
That's Marion Cotillard's ace in the hole, people don't see her movies.
Right.
It's a young wife and mother who works in a small solar panel factory, so it seems like a bit of an environmental element. Suffers a nervous breakdown.
It's gravity all over again.
Sounds a bit, yeah.
It's awful.
Forced to take time off from her job during her absence, her colleagues realize that she's able to cover her shifts. Okay, it sounds like some, I don't know, what's that one with Sally Field? Works in a factory or something. That's probably a French version of that with an environmental.
Oh, so you have seen this or you haven't? What were you saying was the worst movie?
I thought Livion Rose, I think, was the worst.
Oh, I think Livion Rose. That was pretty bad. Yeah, I thought you were talking about this. This is even worse than Livion Rose. Even worse.
Oh, this is worse than Livion Rose. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I didn't know it got worse than Amour, and you guys have just listed 2 of them.
Yeah, but Amour is the standard by which. Yeah. And we're only beating up on this because we know you love it, so.
Yes. Okay. Rosamund Pike, she was the Gone Girl in Gone Girl.
She's great. She just won the Gold Derby Award. Congratulations, Rosamund.
Rosamund, fantastic. We love it. I thought she was great, too. And I'd think about voting for her as well, but very cold. Very cold performance.
People liked Gone Girl.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Yeah, but no Best Picture nomination, no Best Director nomination, really, Gone Girl was gone at the Oscars.
That's because it's called Gone Girl, and all the voters are old geezer guys who aren't chick empathetic.
They want the girl there. They don't want the girl gone.
Well, they don't want a girl like that who fights back and becomes scary and threatens to kill them. That just spooks them. So they say, you know, F you, bitch. You're not getting an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
They gave her a but not the movie.
The Gone Girl was fairly unreasonable in the film.
Yeah.
Like, she was... I don't think she was a strong, independent woman as much as unreasonable.
She's pretty out there.
Yeah. Pretty... She went too far. So, any of the other contenders you want to talk about, John?
I think we've touched on all of them except for Reese Witherspoon. Is that correct?
Yeah, Felicity Jones.
Boring.
You know, from Theory of Everything. Yeah, she was good. Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Boring.
did that film make you want to hike the Pacific Coast Trail?
Maybe you want to hike right out of the theater. Jeez.
Oh my gosh. Stone.
All right, I'm going to assume that's another 3-0 for Julianne Moore.
Yeah.
Boy oh boy. Let's talk about Best Picture and Best Director. We can talk about them together because there's sort of like a lot of overlap with these two categories. Here's one thing interesting though, Tom, before I read out the nominees. I'll read out the nominees first, actually. Director, you've got Morten Tidland, The Imitation Game, Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, oh my, Alejandro González Iñárritu,
yeah.
From Birdman. Richard Lineker from Boyhood and Wes Anderson, The Grand Budapest Hotel. Then for Best Picture, of those films, you have The Grand Budapest Hotel, Birdman, The Imitation Game, and Boyhood all nominated, with making up the numbers or joining them without director nominations, Whiplash, American Sniper, Selma, and The Theory of Everything. First thing of note when these came out, Tom, first time since they've expanded the Best Picture race to more than 5 nominees that you've had a film make the top 5 directors,
right,
but not the Best Picture race.
Bennett Miller, Foxcatcher, he's in there for director but not Best Picture. How could you be the best directed picture of the year among 5 and not be on the list of the 8 Best Pictures of the year? Well, of course, it doesn't deserve to be on that list, and it's a miracle that... But I think they gave it to Bennett Miller because they just have hard-ons for this guy because he got that award at Cannes, so they went, oh, of course, dude. And that's how bizarre the Oscars are, is that the nominations are determined by peer groups. So the 300 and some people who are in that director's branch said, oh, Bennett Miller, he won at Cannes, so we have to give him the... I think that's the logic. And then when the full Academy looked at, you know, Foxcatcher, they went, ugh.
No,
Jonathan, you go first. What's going to win here? There's real suspense. Lead the way. What's going to win, picture and director? And will they be the same film?
Well, if we look at what I guess people are assuming to be the two front runners, Birdman and Boyhood, I think there's probably two things that are going to help each of them. For Birdman, it's that this is a film about writing and acting. It's about the industry itself, and the industry loves that. I think that really helps us, but in peer voted for awards, and it's been picking up a bit of steam lately. I think what Boyhood has for it is that people are going to be talking about this film for longer. I think Birdman, people would say, yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was one of my favorite films that year. But no one's going to be, you know, years down the line saying, you have to watch Birdman. It was that good. It had that much of an impact on my life or on filmmaking that you need to see Birdman. Whereas Boyhood, forever, for decades and centuries, people go, that's the film that they filmed over 12 years. It took them 12 years that you see the kid really age on screen. It has that gimmick. It has that longevity.
Yeah.
And that's why Boyhood's going to win.
People have been slaves for that long.
I thought of that too the other day. And I thought I was the slave of the movie house when it went on 2 hours and 40 minutes. Oh, God. And you know, a lot of Academy voters feel that way. The movie peaked soon too, so a lot of the gee whiz wears off. I think you have, as you're pointing out, Jonathan, you know, you have either that very personal reaction to this film where you respond with it and you're going to vote for it and champion it all the way, or you just feel disconnected and say, oh, come on, this has no plot. It's just a featherweight thing. It's boring. And I have to vote for something else. Where do I go? Well, you know, Birdman, as you say, is about show business, and it's full of all this, you know, these impressive elements. So that's why I'll vote for it. But there is no precedent for a movie like Birdman winning, not with these crazy, kooky elements like, you know, flying birds and, I mean, flying Birdman and disembodied voices and magic and levitation, all this weird, weird symbolic stuff going on. So it's hard to figure this one out. Birdman has won the Guild Awards, 10 of them out of 11. So, but it wasn't nominated at the Oscars for film editing. So, in other words, if you just say, well, the Guild Awards usually predict what's going to win at the Oscars because those are the same voters, after all. They are at the Oscars. So that tells you everything, right? Well, then it's not nominated for editing. And a lot of theorists say, well, you can't win there unless it's nominated for editing. You have to go back to Ordinary People in 1980 before you can point to a movie that won Best Picture without the editing nomination. But yet, as you point out, Jonathan, there's the love for Birdman like there is for Boyhood. And then you say, well, on the other hand, Birdman has the most nominations in a tie with Budapest. So the movie with the most nominations usually wins Best Picture. Yeah, but the Oscar voters are schmaltzy, sentimental people. They vote for the artist. They vote for the King's Speech. And Boyhood is the schmaltzy, sentimental movie. You can go back and forth like this all day long, and you can say, well, BAFTA has correctly predicted Best Picture for the past 6 years in a row, and Boyhood won Best Picture there, so therefore it wins the Oscars. Then you go, oh, well, wait a minute. The Producers Guild has correctly predicted Best Picture for the last 7 years in a row, and Birdman won there. So you've got these tea leaves scattered all over the place.
Yeah. No, like, and that's what, like, I wrote an article about this for Gold Derby this week, and, like, you can go back and forward on this race. It's really a great, really rivalry and showdown. You've got the young, you know, the young boy growing up, coming of age and coming to terms with growing up, and you've got the older man looking back, coming to terms with the end of his life or the end of his career or whatever. And I just think you can use, like, there are stats or records or whatever to justify either winning or either losing. And so at the end of the day, I'm just going with the film that I think has the most heart and is going to connect with people on a more nostalgic level. Because I think we often see those films embraced by the Oscars, from Slumdog Millionaires to King's Speeches. And I just think maybe Birdman is a little too unlikable, the characters.
And oh, it is very unlikable.
Yeah.
So you're both going with Boyhood. That's interesting. I absolutely see what you're saying, and I normally would think you're right, but do Hollywood people really have a heart? Let's be honest. Yeah.
This is a coin toss race.
It is. And I am just playing the numbers, and I'm saying, all right, well, look, how many years has the Directors Guild been around? 342? Only 7 times has that award failed to predict the winner of Best Director at the Oscars. And Iñárritu won DGA. So that tells us he's probably going to win the Oscar. And if that movie wins Best Director, you know, 90% of the time that wins Best Picture, too. Now, the last 2 years, that's not been true. Last year, Alfonso Cuarón won Best Director, of course, and 12 Years a Slave won Best Picture. So these splits do happen. So maybe we could see Iñárritu win director and Boyhood win best picture. But if you look at the guilds in general as a indicator, 10 out of 11 guild wins for Birdman is pretty impressive compared to Boyhood only taking 2 guild awards. It took a Screen Actors Guild Award for Patricia Arquette, and it took some editing thing. So if you just do that, I got to play conservative and say Birdman wins.
Yeah. Jonathan, do you think Birdman wins director and... do you think Boyhood wins director and picture, or do you think there's going to be a split?
I think Birdman was about 2 minutes away from taking both of them. That film was almost perfect until the last scene.
That last scene is stupid.
And I just thought, there's 2 Oscars out the window right there.
Literally, yeah.
Do you think Boyhood wins both?
Boyhood takes both.
I'm thinking Boyhood takes both too.
Interesting. The experts at Gold Derby, by a large margin now, are saying Birdman, but the editors and the users at Gold Derby are saying Boyhood. As you guys are, it could be true once again that the Gold Derby editors, like Matt, are prescient and wise in a way that the experts are not. I am actually on both teams. If you look at the charts of Gold Derby, I'm both an editor and an expert, so...
You win or lose either way.
No matter what happens.
just like people remember that I was the one who successfully predicted Gravity to win Best Picture last year.
Good move, Matt. Yeah.
Best to call that one. So.
One of your best predictions.
Yeah, one of my best moments. But boy, that was a close race too last year. We've had a lot of close Best Picture races the last 2 years.
No, it wasn't. You were just an idiot.
No, Tom. Like, it won.
I know. And it had tied Slade for Best Picture at the PGA, the Producers Guild, so that's usually the... I'm just
rasping. No. It's all good. What about some of these other films that nominate? Any strong opinions on any of them?
You know, I look forward to ranting about some insane choice by the Academy, a War Horse or a Moor or something like that. But to be honest, I didn't hate any of the films this year. I think I liked them all. And... you know, perhaps Selma was my least favorite, just because I thought the pacing was really off and there wasn't really a lot of drive to it. But, you know, it had its moments and it was still worth watching. The Academy has stolen my annual rant away from me. Tom, what did you hate? Surely you hated something.
Oh, Foxcatcher, I absolutely loved, right? And
we have hands up in the room.
Yeah, and I didn't really like... Birdman as much as I wanted to. I love Babel and a lot of the other stuff that guy did, and so I kept thinking, oh, it's going to be so great, it's going to be so great, and then it was just,
See, I hated Babel, but loved Birdman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, me too.
Interesting.
But absolutely loved Whiplash, loved Budapest Hotel. Those movies were just brilliant.
Whiplash is probably my favorite. Whiplash is number... That would be my vote. I think it's outstanding. It's something... You know, why you go to the cinema is to be entertained. And it has you just on the edge of your seat. It's tense. It's, you know, it's engaging with the characters and the performances and the music. I don't think you have to be a fan of jazz to appreciate this. It just lights up the screen. It lights up the whole place. And it really is a ride. I can see why it... might not appeal to everyone, but I think it will appeal to more people than it's being given credit for. I think everyone should go see this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's my favorite too.
Yeah. So like, it's really when I look, I saw Selma and I was really, what a pleasant surprise for Martin Sheen to pop up in that movie.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I quite enjoyed Selma and I preferred Selma a lot to 12 Years a Slave.
Yes.
I found that I liked the focus of the film. I thought it was good. Not my favorite. Like, I didn't think it was anything exceptional because, you know, I think we've seen a few biopics on figures like Martin Luther King before. But it did take a slightly different take on it, and I did really appreciate that. But I sort of agree. There isn't really the rant film this year. Like, Birdman, Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash. You got some really... Boyhood's even interesting and a good... you got some interesting things, and I think the only thing to complain about is, like, some of the films nominated seem a bit like a celebration of mediocrity. Like, you know, The Theory of Everything is good, but it's your standard biopic sort of thing. You know, The Imitation Game is good, but it's sort of, again, a bit of your standard sort of, oh, some quirky guy in the war who figures out some little thing that wins it for England or whatever. Like, you know, like, all
they're so grateful they cut his balls off, right?
Yeah, it just seemed like, you know, just some films that are, they're okay, but I'm not that passionate about, and, yeah. But I'm glad, Birdman, Boyhood, and The Grand Budapest Hotel, the three films are probably fighting out, like, the three leaders are in the pack. Great films, in different ways.
Very good.
So I'm pleased with the lineup this year, not much to rant about. Yeah.
So have we got two Boyhoods and one Birdman?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll have to, it's a, we'll definitely have to get you back if we're right, Tom. if not, we'll just sort of forget about it.
Back after suffer the ha 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 from you guys. No way. I'd turn out to be right. I'll be more than glad to come back and give it to you.
Yeah. Fantastic. I think your letter might get lost in the mail, Tom.
Oh my! So there we go, guys. It's the Oscars for the year. Get excited!
Mm-hmm. We have suspense.
Yeah, we do have suspense, especially in that picture director races.
Yeah, and an actor, Keaton, can actually do it.
Yeah, as good Cooper, as you pointed out. How exciting. Thank you so much for joining us again, Tom. It's always great having you on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Cheers, Tom.
Cheers, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
All right. That is our Oscars podcast. Tune in on Sunday to see whether our predictions were correct. Enjoy the show. I think it's going to be a good one. And what are we doing? We'll be back next week. That's because that's what we do.
The Oscars are really a lead-up, one of the precursors to the Screen Verdict Awards.
We've talked about all these lead-up races. You know, will the Golden Globes, SAG Awards, PGAs, all that good stuff affect the Oscars? Will the Oscars affect the SVs? The answer to that is no, because we're impartial and our opinion is final and correct.
Yeah. Yes, the Oscars have moved themselves on the calendar this year to be before the SVs in a sort of desperate attempt to be seen to be influencing us.
They're shameless, those Hollywood whores.
Yes. So anyway, that'll be fun. So that'll probably be our next podcast, I would guess. If not, we'll talk about one of the movies maybe in a bit more detail.
All right. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Stay tuned and we'll be back next week.